I actually thought of announcements and announcements in the proceedings. I thought it would be fun if we all took a picture together out in front of the church when we're done. What do you think? Okay, good. Great. Okay, so that we'll do. When we're finished, we'll gather outside and we'll take a picture in front of the church. The sun will be shining. It'll be beautiful. You could be in the picture too. When I was a little boy, my mother got us, my sister and I, a set. Actually, it was like a subscription. Every month or so, we would get a new book of children's books. They were all Dr. Seuss related. You know, Green Eggs and Ham, If I Ran the Zoo, If I Had Duck Feet, or I Wish I Had Duck Feet was one of them. They weren't all specifically Dr. Seuss, but like Dr. Seuss related, all these children's. We had like, I don't know, 30 of them. But one that we did not have celebrated, don't peek, celebrated its 100th anniversary this year. Any idea what it is? The Cat in the Hat, it's not a Dr. Seuss book. Yeah. Redfish, I love that one, but that's not it. It's not a Dr. Seuss book. It's The Velveteen Rabbit. Do you remember The Velveteen? Oh. It's always such a great reaction to The Velveteen Rabbit. So this was written by Marjorie Williams in 1922, right? That would make it 100 years. And I stumbled on an article, well, not an article, a report on NPR about this. And I started to think about it. And I had never read it. So, of course, I had to get myself a copy. And while thinking about reading this, while thinking about today's scripture passage, the connection is very, very sharp, in my opinion. Are you familiar with this story? Yeah. So for those of you who aren't, it's about this toy rabbit, a stuffed rabbit, very plain and simple, stuffed with sawdust, sateen ears, no legs on the bottom. It's just like a, right, stuffed with sawdust and arms and a face. And it's this little rabbit, and a boy gets the rabbit for Christmas. And the rabbit starts to realize by listening to the other toys, you know, because all toys can talk, right? When you're not around, they're talking. The other mechanical toys would talk a lot about being real, right? Oh, well, you know, I'm an airplane and I used to fly over the country and in the clouds and, you know, things like that. And this little rabbit doesn't even know what a real rabbit is. So he doesn't really understand the concept of being real. So he asks a new toy an old toy who he meets, the skin horse. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender, before Nana came to tidy the room. Nana is like the governess. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful, "when you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or who have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. I suppose you are real, said the rabbit. And then he wished he had not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. The story goes on, and the rabbit has an adventure out in the yard. At one point, the boy takes him outside to play in the yard, and his mother calls him for lunch, so he leaves him outside. The boy goes inside, and the rabbit is left there and encounters two real rabbits who come, and they start to talk to him. They're like, hey, come play with us. Can you jump? Come jump with us. Well, he can't jump. He has no legs. So he's a little bit embarrassed, and he says, I don't like jumping, you know. But they go back and forth, and finally the real rabbits lean in to sniff him, and you don't smell right? Because he smells like people. And just then the little boy comes out, but the Velveteen Rabbit realizes that there is something else. There are these real rabbits. Eventually the boy gets sick. Actually, before that happens, this is important to point out. So there's a point when the little boy is supposed to go to bed, but he doesn't have the rabbit with him. So he insists on having his rabbit so he can go to his sleep. And Nana, who sounds like such a charmer here, right? But Nana grumbled as she rubbed him off with the corner of her apron. You must have your old bunny, she said. Fancy all that fuss for a toy. The boy sat up in bed and stretched out his hands. Give me my bunny, he said. You mustn't say that. He isn't a toy. He's real. And when the little rabbit heard that, he was happy, for he knew that what the skin horse had said was true at last. The nursery magic had happened to him, and he was a toy no longer. He was real. The boy himself had said it. So the boy gets sick, very, very sick, and he's bedridden for a long time. And the little rabbit is always with him, like hidden in the bedclothes. And while the boy is sleeping, the little rabbit will like whisper stories in his ear, trying to make his feel better. Someday, you know, it'll be spring again, and we'll be able to go outside, and we can play, and we can have a good time like we used to, and it's going to be great. And, you know, just trying to keep his spirits up so that he's healed and he can wake up. And he does, eventually. And, of course, the doctors demand that all of the bed linens must be burned because they're germs, you know. So he says they have to be burned, and Nana picks up the rabbit, and what about this? He's like, oh, yeah, that too. That's been in the bed. That has to be burned. So they put it all in a bag, and they put this bag outside for the gardener to burn the following day. So this little rabbit is out there in the bag, and he's sitting in there, and he starts to think, and he thought of the skin horse, so wise and gentle, and all that he had told him. Of what use was it to be loved and lose one's beauty and become real if it all ended like this? And a real tear, trickled down his little shabby velvet nose and fell to the ground. And then a strange thing happened. For where the tear had fallen, a flower grew out of the ground, a mysterious flower, not at all like any that grow in the garden. And out of this flower, a fairy comes, and she turns this little Velveteen Rabbit into a real rabbit. And she takes him into the middle of the forest, where he encounters other real rabbits who are dancing in the middle of the forest. And the fairy introduces him to them and them to him. And she says, this is your new friend. Will you take care of him and teach him how to dance? And he becomes real. And then later in the story, you know, other things happen, but I don't have to give it all away. I'll leave you hanging a little. Actually, this is a good lead. I have an idea for next Wednesday, or I think the Wednesday after, is International Children's Book Day. So I want to start a weekly thing, story time out on the lawn. So I think Wednesday afternoons, I'm going to make postcards, and you know, we could do this next week at Butter and Egg Day. I'll just print up little flyers and we can give them out for kids to come. And you know, we just have story time weekly and we'll see what happens. Maybe this will be the first story, Sally, so you can come and you can find out what happens at the end. Or maybe I'll do it in two parts. So we'll keep you hanging, make you want to come back. Anyway, this whole experience of becoming new, I think, is what happens in the garden. Mary Magdalene, early in the morning, still dark, runs to the grave. For 3 days, she has been despondent. This man who she has loved, who she has followed, who she's listened to, who she's learned from, is gone. Her whole world has collapsed. And she goes to the tomb, and what does she discover? But the stone has been rolled away. She's still in a state where she doesn't understand the real. She can't see beyond her immediate world, her society-driven world. If the stone is rolled away and what's in there is not there, then somebody must have stolen it or taken it away or moved him. Jesus. Jesus is not in the tomb. And all she can think of is somebody has moved him. She doesn't know what to do, so of course she runs back to the disciples. When the beloved disciple and Peter hike up their gowns, they're used to wearing gowns, so they know to hike them up before they start running, and they run to this tomb, only to find that it's empty. Now Peter, remember Peter, doesn't think first, just jumps right in, runs right into the tomb, sees that it's empty, and turns around and leaves. Can't deal with it. I don't know what that means, I don't know what it is, and I can't think about it right now, it's too much. And he leaves. The beloved disciple goes in, he looks, he sees, and he believes. But the passage doesn't tell us what he believes. Does he believe that it's been stolen? Does he believe that Christ is risen? We don't really know. What we do know is that he leaves. He also leaves, and they leave Mary Magdalene there alone with the empty tomb. And while she's standing there, weepy, she looks inside. She sees two angels, who talk to her and ask her why she's weeping. And then she senses someone behind her, and she turns. And because she's still in this limited space, like the playroom space of not knowing what happens beyond, she's not real yet. She's real, but she's not real. She doesn't recognize who Jesus is. Must be the gardener. That's logical thinking. Who else would be in the garden early in the morning? Must be the gardener. Where have you taken him? Tell me now, so I can go and I'll take him back and put him back where he belongs. In that beautiful, intimate, loving moment when Jesus calls her by name, she recognizes who he is and becomes real. Because she feels and she knows that love that God, Jesus, has for her and, of course, for us. We have all, I think, had that moment. That's why we're here every week. That's what brought us here today. We know that there is something big that happened on this day, that for 2,000 years, we have continued to respond to in some way or another. Mary Magdalene, the first one to speak to this risen Jesus, and interestingly, comes full circle in the Gospel of John. You may remember, when Jesus is first baptized in the John account, he's walking down the street and some of John the Baptist's followers come to him and he stops and he turns to them and he says, "What are you looking for?" Which is exactly what he says, not exactly, but who are you looking for? Jesus says to Mary, right? Full circle. And they reply, "Rabbi," these John the Baptist's followers call him Rabbi, and that is the familiar term that Mary Magdalene uses here when she addresses him. That moment of recognition, the ministry is cyclical, right? It starts, we go through starts and spurts and finish, and it just keeps going. And that's what happens. She's familiar now in this moment, and she's been called, and she feels this thing. She has become real. She has to respond out in the world and share this feeling that she has. So that is my challenge for you this week. For us, I'll include myself in the challenge. When we are out in the world, after we've been here, we've felt the stone rolled away, we felt the lights come on, we've seen the cross revealed, what are we doing now as we go out in the world this week, next week, forever, to share this love that we have felt? Amen.